Good morning and welcome to the Angels Podcast. The Angels are a World of Warcraft guild, and every Tuesday we put out a podcast as Blizzard does the maintenance on Tuesday morning. And indeed, my friends, today is maintenance day. And Blizzard stressed the fact that this was a non-patch maintenance. So it should be a normal maintenance day, and the servers will be back up on time. One thing in relationship with the upcoming patch, which hopefully will come soon, is that if you notice a little extra latency in the last few days, it is because Blizzard has activated a background downloader. And when you're playing the game, this background downloader is already downloading elements of the upcoming patch. Now, if this is pushing your latency too high, there are instructions on the first page of the Blizzard or World of Warcraft website where you can disable this background downloader. But there is a background downloader activated, and as usual, Blizzard did this without telling anybody, and then people began to notice the extra latency and the problems, and somebody found it on their computer, and you know, one of those brouhahas on the forums ensued. But Blizzard created this little file and pumped it on our computers without saying anything, and it's there, and we won't debate their infinite wisdom in doing so, but I don't know. On one hand, I guess it's a good thing that maybe it'll cut down on the amount of time that we're going to spend patching when the patch does come through. You know, I don't like people putting things on my computer and not telling me about it. But in any event, there it is. And so once again, as far as we know, today is just another patch day. Now, I would love to be surprised on that. I would love to see 1.11 come through. But the last word that I've been able to find is just another patch day. Well, let me start off and talk about some guild news, and then we will talk about some World of Warcraft news, and then I have two features for today, and one of those features we're going to talk about some of the suggestions that are being made to Blizzard to improve the game. A few days back, I was browsing the website and ran across these, and there's a nice list of them on the suggestion forum at Blizzard, and I thought you might want to know some of the suggestions that have been made, as well as some of the suggestions that were made and have been implemented in the game. And so we're going to talk about that. And then second of all, the second feature that we'll do today, I've had some people, you know, ask me to do a little bit more on grouping, and that's what we're going to do just a little bit today. And I'm hopefully next week going to be prepared to do a special section on player versus player grouping in a little more detail. But those are the two features for today, and let's get right into the news. The guild continues to grow. And although we're growing very, very slowly now, and I think it should be noted that as we're growing, we have begun the process of pairing out inactive toons and inactive accounts. And every once in a while we accidentally pair off somebody who, you know, comes back and say, hey, why did you kick my character out of the guild? But if you don't want your toon kicked out of the guild, then you got to play him every once in a while. You got to show that he's being used, because, you know, once a player goes past 14, 15, 16, 17 days, you know, generally speaking, they're being removed at some point down that line. So, you know, sign them on once a week or something like that, and keep them active in the guild that way. But the guild is still over 400 and some 360-odd separate accounts, and so we are continuing to grow. A little note here to the officers. Officers, we've created a special page on the website And we would like all of the officers to send us a tune, a picture of their tune. And you can do that just through a print screen, and you can zip that up, or you can send it in the format it comes out in, and send that to anog@yahoo.com. That's A-H-N-O-G, Alpha Hotel November Oscar Golf, A-H-N-O-G@yahoo.com, and we'll post that on the site. And so officers, that's a special note to you. Second thing I want to talk about, or third thing we want to talk about in relationship to Guild News, last week we did hold a server-wide scavenger hunt. Had a few people ask, why server-wide? Why would we do that? Well, it was part of a public relations thing. We wanted it to be a Guild activity, and we wanted it to be a public relations thing. And it was both a success and a failure. It was a success in the fact that three people outside of the Guild who participated ultimately have become Guild members, and I think we created a lot of goodwill on the server by doing this, and so I think it was a success from that standpoint. The event was kind of a disappointment from another standpoint in that we didn't have more Guild members participate. But having said that, I think overall we can classify the scavenger hunt as a success. The scavenger hunt, we had a grand prize of a 60-day subscription game card and 100 gold. Second place prize of 50 gold. Third place prize of 25 gold. We had five runner-up with 10 gold. And then each class, the first person in each class to complete the hunt, got 5 gold and a piece of jewelry with an average level somewhere around 30 to 33. And so those were the class prizes that were involved. And so there was a lot of potential for people to win, to pick up something nice. And all of the items were gray items. We picked the items, and then, about 5 or 10 minutes before we posted the list of items, we bought all of them off of the auction house. Normally, not a lot of grays are there, and that was the case. But we bought all of them off the auction house, and then we posted our list of items. And we had 20 or 25 people, I guess, talk about being participants. And we gave out our prizes. Our first place winner was a, let's see, what was he? Let me look here again. Slipped my mind. Where is he? Third place, first runner up. Well, I can't find him here on the site. Oh, there he is, a mage, 24 gnome mage. And Zeldina. And Zeldina won that grand prize of a 60-day account plus 100 gold. And you can go to the website to look at a list of all of the specific winners. And we appreciate everyone who participated. We did have some Guild members participate and win prizes, and we appreciate your participation. From time to time, we're going to hold these events. If you have suggestions for an event, I'm the person to get a hold of. Again, that email address is ahnog@yahoo.com. Or you can just go to the website, and down at the bottom of each page, click email the webmaster, and it'll get to me. And so if you have a suggestion for future events, I'm kind of thinking about maybe level 1 naked gnome run from Ironforge to Menethil Harbor has been suggested, and then maybe a maybe we're talking about a dueling contest of some kind. I don't know. We're working on future events, and we'll see what happens. But be sure to participate in these events. They're for the purpose of pulling the Guild together, and as this last one was, have a secondary purpose of kind of getting our name out on the server as a kind of a goodwill gesture to the entire server. So that's the Guild news. Let's talk a little bit more about Blizzard news. We talked about the background downloader. There are instructions on the website to disable that if you need to, if it's causing your latency to go a little bit too high. And that is on page one of the WoW website. There was an additional statement made this week on the official forums by Blizzard about character transfer. They simply stated this week that they talk about the primary purpose, and I'll just read this. The primary purpose of the fee that will be involved in that is to reduce the number of players who elect to perform character transfer. This service we've been working hard to establish for quite some time is intended to enhance the World of Warcraft experience for our community, but it's important that it's not abused. Furthermore, character transfer will be subject to certain restrictions which will be detailed in the near future. We've not yet determined the cost associated with character transfer services. So that's a statement, that additional statement that they made this week on the character transfers. They're still working on it, and they say that there will be, you know, a large enough cost to discourage this from being abused. I don't know what that cost will be. I know, and I can't remember the specific amount, but it was in excess of $50. I remember that back when the World of War or the EverQuest service, if you wanted to transfer a character from an account to another account or from a realm to another realm, there was a hefty $50 to $75 fee or something of that nature. It was a pretty good size fee. May even been as high as $95. I can't remember exactly. But there was a hefty fee, and if you wanted to do two or three, I mean, it really got up into the hundreds of dollars to do that many. And they even instituted a character transfer service in which it would transfer your character and what you had on his person, but nothing in the bank accounts, to discourage people from doing it. Now, I don't know what World of Warcraft's policy will be, but they are working on the ability to transfer your characters, but there will be a hefty fee. And that's the news this week. They did open up some specific realms for transfer this week, free transfer up until June the 15th. Our realm is not involved, but they are, by the way, player versus player realms. They have a couple of realms that have low population. They have five realms that have high population, and they're opening them up to transfer from one to the other. And so there are some character transfers going on this week, but again, it doesn't affect our realm. Well, one of the biggest pieces of news this week is that World of Warcraft says that they banned some 30,000 accounts in the month of May and removed well over 30 million gold from the economy across all realms. They said that the banned accounts primarily were farming accounts and their holders and things of that nature, and that's what they banned this week. And they promised to aggressively monitor all of the World of Warcraft realms. Aggressively, I guess, is the key word there. To stop this kind of thing. And they said, in the process of saying this, and I'm going to quote, "Please note that selling World of Warcraft content, such as gold, items, and characters, can result in a permanent ban of the involved accounts from World of Warcraft," end quote. And so they said the selling of World of Warcraft content there's a yawn. It's too early in the morning. Anyway, they said selling World of Warcraft accounts such as gold. You know, it's kind of interesting. I've not really heard of them banning any of the people who buy the stuff, but they are aggressively going after the people who sell it. And I don't know how you feel about this. I have to admit, having a split personality on it, there is a part of me, I am an old gamer. I have, well, I'm old, otherwise I'm 49, but anyway, I'm an old gamer, long-time gamer, and, you know, there's a part of me that you know, the luster in leveling is kind of diminished for me, and I like to go to the end game. So I was highly tempted, I'll be quite frank with you, when I joined World of Warcraft, and I have the coin to do it, to kind of pluck down some coin and buy a couple of 60 characters and go from there. I chose not to because I wanted to learn how to play them, but I was highly tempted to do that. Just simply because I wanted to go straight to the end game. And like I say, I feel kind of divided on this. There's a part of me that says that people should be able to skip to the end game if that's what they want to do. If somebody wants to sell their account and their character, they should be able to. There's another part of me that says, well, no, that's not a good idea because, quite frankly, a lot of people who buy accounts don't know how to play the tunes, and consequently, you know, it's not good for the game. Same thing with selling gold or buying gold and stuff like that. I have to admit again to being torn. There's part of me that says, you know, if somebody wants to do that, fine. Blizzard has already, they built the game with tight controls on the economy. That's what the binding of gear is all about, so that they can be tightly controlled and people, you know, who buy gold cannot end up with the very best of stuff. That's all this, all of this that's involved in bind and pick up and bind. That was all put in for economy control. So there's part of me that says, if somebody wants to do it, let them go for it. But there's another part of me that realizes that it does hurt the economy. It drives up prices for all of us. And, you know, that's kind of a negative there. So, you know, I'm not going to take a position on all of this except simply to say, do it at your own risk. Okay, I've heard of cases of people who spent, you know, $800, $900, even $1,100 or $1,200 for a character, and a few weeks later lost it, either because they were caught by World of Warcraft, or most commonly, they were cheated out of the character. In other words, somebody sold them the character, and then after a few weeks went to Blizzard and said, "Hey, somebody has stolen my account." And there is nothing that stops them from doing that. There are elements of the registration that cannot be changed. That cannot be changed. You know, the original owner of the account, whoever sets it up with their name, that can never be changed. You can change the address. You can change the payment information. But the original owner's name cannot be changed. And therefore, there is no way to buy an account and to be 100% sure that the person who sells it to you later on is not going to go back to Blizzard and reclaim that account. And there are dangers in buying gold and items and stuff like that. So I don't know how you feel about it. You feel however you want to feel about it. I'm torn on the matter, but that's the news. 30,000 accounts in the month of May banned. Most of those farmers, thankfully, and 30 million gold removed from the economy across all realms. That is a lot of time and effort. And so that was news from Blizzard this week. Let me also something that I think is very, very nice. They improved last week the talent calculators. And now, instead of each, in whatever class you may be, whatever the three sections are in your talents, instead of it being on separate pages, you can now see the whole thing on one page in front of you. And that's very, very nice. And they've improved how you can, you know, save a particular build on them and everything. And it's very, very nice. They have improved the talent calculators. Hadn't used them for a while. Go try them out. They're very, very nice. then they did make an announcement. This is the final piece of news from Blizzard. They did make an announcement this week that they have not yet begun planning a BlizzCon for this year. BlizzCon, of course, is they've held those periodically since they created the game. It's kind of a time for the players and the developers to get together and, in a convention and that sort of thing. They said, and I quote, "Truthfully, BlizzCon isn't intended as an annual event. We had a lot of fun, though, and we're looking forward to getting another one going and inviting everyone to come hang out with us and check out everything that is Blizzard," end quote. So, I guess that's just a way of them saying, look, we're not going to do one of these every year, but we are going to do some more. So, that's kind of the last bit of news from the website this week. Well, let's turn now to our two features, and let me first of all follow up on the feature we did last week. Just a little short piece here. I'm going to continue my discussion of groups. Last week we talked about the roles. We talked about the tanking role, the DPS role, the healing role, and the specialty roles like the hunter and rogue and so forth and so on. So we talked about those roles last week. I think what we said applied broadly to both player versus environment and player versus player, with some exceptions, but mostly that's the case. And I just have really just two or three more comments to add to that this week, and we will do more on this in the future. I've been asked to do more, especially on the player versus player grouping, but let me talk about a couple of things more on grouping. First of all, let me just say that it's very, very important to have disciplined targeting in grouping. Generally speaking, the general rule is, and of course I understand there are always exceptions, but the general rule is that everyone should be on the same target. Now, there are, you know, kind of exceptions to that. Your tank will be switching targets in order to maintain aggro and things of that nature, but the group as a whole should be on one target. You focus on a target, take it down, you move to the next target, take it down. That's the fastest, most efficient, and best way to do it. When you focus on more than one target, and unfortunately I saw this happen twice this week. I joined a couple of pickup groups and went to SM and saw this happen twice this week. You have two or three targets being engaged. You have people broken off, and what happens is that you have runners, and since only one person is on the target and everybody else is engaged on different targets, the runner gets away. What does he do? He draws in three or four more mobs to you, and when everybody is on one target and focusing on one target, you the runner should not be able to get away. But if you have just one person, often they can get away. That's one important reason to do it. Another important reason is, again, it takes mobs down faster. In player versus player, it's so important to be successful. And the Horde seem to be so good at this. I don't know why they seem to be so much better at player versus player than we do. They run as a pack. They fight as a pack. They're disciplined on targeting. I know when I use my healer and I go into the battlegrounds, all I have to do is cast one heal and the entire Horde group is on me, just and I'm dead. And so they're very, very disciplined. And that brings us to another rule of targeting, that generally speaking, casters go down first, healing casters first, damage casters second, and then your tanking targets. That's generally the order things should be done. If not, of course, the healer stands back and heals, and you're wasting your time. And if it's a damage caster, then he's able to reach into your background and hit your healer and hit your DPS mages and things of that nature, and it just creates havoc. So the general rule of targeting is you target casters first, take them down, then the other guys. And this is where some of the specialty classes come in, especially rogues. If the group is fighting and a caster mob comes up, it's the rogue's responsibility to go engage that caster. Rogues are specially designed to take down casters. We don't do as well against tanks and stuff like that, but we do excellent against casters, and that's what we're specially designed to do. And so I think that's an important note on targeting everybody on the same target. Again, we know there's exceptions to the rule. Casters first, and those are very, very important rules. Another thing I noticed this week about groups is the question of who should pull. I know hunters have, they're able to shoot, but guns and bows and things like that. But, you know, warriors are able to do that as well. And I had a hunter tell me this week, we're built to pull. Well, it can be done, and it can be done right. He wasn't built to pull. He was a terrible puller. But anyway, having said that, I'm a longtime MMO player, and I just tell you, in my judgment, the best puller is the tank. Whoever the tank is the best puller. Now, sometimes, again, there are exceptions to that. At one point this week, even I, as a priest, I did the pulling simply because I was the most experienced in the group and was doing an SM run. I was the most experienced. I was the highest level, so I did the pulling. But another yawn. I'm sorry. It's early in the morning. Anyway, generally speaking, the best puller in the class is the tank. But here's the rule. Only one puller. Time and time again, I see a group get in trouble because one member of the group decides, hey, there's an easy target, let me just pull him into the group. Well, inevitably what happens when you do that is the tank is pulling two people and some other idiot in the group is pulling someone, and boom, all of a sudden you got five or six mobs on you. So only one puller, no matter how tempting it is, let one puller pull. And again, I think it should be the tank. Another thing about grouping, and I think this in player versus player we're failing on this, is that we should keep the buffs coming. Everyone should be kept buffed up. I don't know how many times I've noticed in the battlegrounds, the horde will gather after they've capped a flag or something like that. They will gather in front of their base, and they will buff each other. They'll just stand there and buff each other. And 9 times out of 10, the alliance is standing in the middle of the ground watching them do it, waiting for them to come to them. And so what the alliance are standing there, unbuffed, uncoordinated, and the horde are all packed together right there in front, and everybody is buffing each other, and then boom, they come after us. I don't know what it is about the horde. Why are they so organized? I'm so tempted to hop over to the horde side. I tell you, I love organization. I love working together. I love good grouping. And they sure do know how to do it on our server. But anyway, won't do that because I love the guild. But anyway, so important to keep the buffs coming. And then the last point on our grouping feature today, and then I'm going to go to our other feature, crowd control. We got a lot of things that can crowd control. Mages can sheep, priest can mind control, you can have an off tank for crowd control, you can even do kiting for crowd control, which is the idea of slowing a target and then running from it, making it chase you while the rest of the group kills the other guy, and then you bring it back to the group when they're ready for the target. There are all kinds of crowd control. The main thing is that everybody has to know what's going on, and everybody has to cooperate. You have to respect the sheep. When the mods or mage sheep someone, you have to respect that and not break sheep. When you break sheep, you waste his mana, and you put the group in danger. And so there are all of these crowd control options, and we need to learn them. We need to learn how to work with them. And mind control is a good thing, but there's really only limited times when it will really work. I know we had a ball using it at SM. It worked really, really well. But then we were in Alderman, and we were doing a boss mob, and it didn't work because while I was mind controlling the one of the boss's minions, the boss was beating our tank to death, and I wasn't available to heal. And so, you know, there's times to mind control, times not to mind control. And but again, the underlying message is there are ways to control mobs, control crowds, and we need to learn those ways and respect them. Well, that's all I got to say on groups. We're already at 30 minutes here, and so that's not enough time really to cover the other feature I wanted to cover in detail, so I'm going to rush through it a little bit. But I want to share with you some of the interesting suggestions that are being made to Blizzard to improve the game. One of the most common suggestions that they say they receive pertains to housing. You know, they have stated, and most players I think would agree, we don't want player housing to litter the countryside, but they are talking about maybe instant housing at some point in the future. In other words, it would be kind of you would like go to Stormwind, and there would be an instant you enter for housing, and they're talking right now primarily not about player housing, but primarily about guild housing, maybe each guild having its own house, but someday there may be a guild housing and player housing in the game. And I thought that was an interesting suggestion. There's really only one game I've seen it work in. It was a terrible game, but Star Wars Galaxy had housing, and it really worked there. Well, I guess EverQuest 2 had housing, and it wasn't a bad game, but it wasn't a great game. But they had housing, a very nice housing for individual players, and it was instant. The way they did, everybody went through kind of the same door in the town, and but you entered your own residence when you did so. So, you know, each hotel kind of had an instant entrance, and when you entered that instant, you went into your room. And so that's real good. Another suggestion that's been made is kind of an interesting suggestion is for them to make boats in the game, guild boats or personal boats. I don't know that I like that idea, but anyway, they talked about that. One of the major ideas that was suggested and that they followed through on was linked auction houses, and that was added in patch 1.9 and 1.09 or whatever. They linked it in all the major cities, and I understand before that it was only in Ironforge for the Alliance, and really created a lot of problems. But some ideas that players are asking for: remote auction checking. So in other words, when you are away from the auction house, they want a way to check up on your auctions to see whether or not they are selling or not, and or whether or not a bid you've made has been, someone has bid over it. I'm sorry. I got the yawns this morning. I thought that was an interesting suggestion, the remote auction housing. Another thing they're talking about are guild auction houses, where each guild will be able to set up its own auction house for its guild members. Don't know how well that'll work, but anyway, it's been reported. Of course, one thing that I think a lot of people want is more and better filters on the auction house, where you can sort by name, sort by trade goods, and filter the recipes a little bit more. They've made, some minor stuff there, but there's just not enough ability to sort by price and things of that nature on the auction house. There's been quite a few suggestions turned in about different professions, and I thought this was interesting. Woodworking, lumberjacking is one that lumberjacking and woodworking, lumberjacking being the gathering skill and woodworking being the final skill, have been suggested. And I imagine if they do housing, that might come along. They're also talking about maybe the woodworker doing bows and crossbows and arrows and shields and wands and things like that. There are also suggestions been made for more aesthetic craftable items. In other words, to allow you to make rings and clothing and hats, vanity kind of things. Another suggestion that's been made in the profession category is to make enchantments auctionable. In other words, what you do is you have your enchanter take all of the elements and kind of make a spell page or something like that out of it, and then be able to put it on the auction house and sell it, where the character gets it and clicks it, and boom, he gets enhanced. Gets the enchantment. I think that would be great. It would cut down on, you know, the people walking around spamming, I got this enchantment to sell or that enchantment to sell. And it'd be a little kit, enchantment kit. And I think that would be a great, great, great addition. Repair kit, filled repair kits. Of course, there's already a engineering thing that'll do that, but they're talking about maybe making some field repair kits. That has been suggested. Also, in connection with the professions, the suggestion has been made to deconstruct crafting material. So, for example, let's say you make something that requires three pieces of linen to make a shirt. You can deconstruct the shirt and maybe get one or two of those back. And so they've talked about that sort of thing. And a profession that has been suggested is a scholar or scribe profession that inscribes scrolls and relics and things of that nature. Blizzard has said, however, about that suggestion, they have no plans to create a scribe as it would conflict with alchemy. And so we'll see how that goes. So those are some of the suggestions that are being made about professions, and I thought a lot of those were kind of interesting. Some suggestions being made about items and skills and spells and talents. A lot of people are asking for being able to learn to speak, different languages, and especially there's always been people clamoring to be able for the Horde and Alliance to speak to one another. I think that might be, though, one of the smartest things WoW did in not allowing that to go on. It keeps the trash talking down and improves the enjoyment of the game tremendously, I think, by not allowing the two sides to speak to one another. So I think that's real good. And let's see what else here. There were a couple of other things. More choices in character creation. More choices as to face style, facial hair, colors, stuff like that. That suggestion has been made. Barbershops and tattoo parlors where you can get tattoos and things like that. Again, those are not things I'm real big on. Key rings, that's going to be implemented at 1.11. Armor dyes, in other words, create dyes so that you can change the color of your armor and make your outfits more color coordinated and things of that nature. Good suggestion. They implemented that in EverQuest 2, and I thought that was one of the good things about it. So those are some suggestions that are being thrown around. In the category of group combat and instances, dueling and things of that nature, some people are making the suggestion of private group dueling, where maybe an instance is set up where small groups can go in and organize, you know, kind of a contest and duel. Something a little bit different than the arena. You know, you got the arena, for example, in Stranglethorn Vale, but, you know, if you get a group in there and you're player versus player, well, you know, anybody can jump in and be a part of it. So they're asking for kind of a private instance. Of course, everybody wants more instances, more in-game instances, more small instances, things like that. They want improvements on the meeting stones and things like that, which really I don't know anybody who uses those things on a regular basis. Suggestions have been made to allow guild wars, so that one guild declares war on another, and if the other guild accepts, then you know, you could have alliance versus alliance, just different guilds. Might be interesting, I don't know. As long as they made it to where both sides had to accept, I don't guess I would argue with that too much. Of course, a lot of people are asking for more casual in-game content and things of that nature. Well, there's lots of other stuff there. I'd intended to go in detail on that, but the program's already around 40 minutes, and so I'm not going to go on and on with that. I guess the news there, or the point I'm trying to drive at there, a lot of good suggestions have been made. They have summed all those up with a sticky at the top. So before you make a suggestion, go read through those. There's lots of good suggestions there I didn't touch on. That I think are really, you know, some good suggestions. You know, there are some people, some of the radical PVPs are asking for a free-for-all player versus player server. In other words, where it's not Horde versus Alliance, but where it is an absolute free-for-all, every character versus every other character. And so there are all kinds of suggestions there. And maybe you can add a few that will improve the game, and Blizzard will implement it and improve the game. Well, that's enough for today. We appreciate you listening to the broadcast again. This broadcast is put on by the Angels Guild, a World of Warcraft guild on the Trelian server. And we appreciate you listening in. Visit our website at wowangels.org. And, hey, let's be careful out there. Until next week, this is Quinzit, our AKA Jack, signing off. Goodbye.